Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of 700 Level Radio. Mark's back. We're going to talk some NFL, some Colin Kaepernick, some Jay Cutler, and they just had the Hall of Fame enshrinement week and the Hall of Fame game. The Cowboys played in that game. So we talked some Flyers the last couple times, the offseason, as well as some of the Eagles who are waiting on next week, but less than a week away, preseason game versus Green Bay. And then the regular season starts in just over a month from now. So we're certainly excited for that. But so we'll start off last week. Let me check here. Eight players that got elected, or eight people that got elected in the Pro Football Hall of Fame class in Canton, including former Rams and Cardinals quarterback Kurt Warner, who was an MVP two times, former Charger running back LaDainian Tomlinson, current Cowboys owner and CEO Jerry Jones, who's been with them for almost 30 years, former Broncos running back Terrell Davis, Jason Taylor, Kenny Easley, former kicker Morton Anderson, and there were over 20 other people that were on the ballot, including former Eagle and former Eagle and 49ers running back Terrell Owens, who was expected to be enshrined, but for certain reasons wasn't. So what did you make of some of the players that were enshrined? I guess, who were some of your favorite players? Did you think all these guys, Warner, Tomlinson, Jones, Davis, Taylor, and a couple of the other guys, you think they were deserving of being enshrined?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think they were. You know, one of my favorite stories is the Kurt Warner story. He was actually undrafted. He actually started his career in the AFL, and while he was in the AFL, he was bagging groceries at the supermarket. And one day he just got a call saying, you know, the Rams wanted to try him out, and he left his job at the grocery store and tried out for the Rams, and the rest is history. And just one thing, I mean, me being an Eagles fan, you know, I hate the Cowboys, I hate Jerry Jones, hate everything about him. But this is a, you know, just a football opinion on my part, and how Jerry Jones gets nominated for the Hall of Fame, but Robert Kraft doesn't.
Yeah, well, Kraft will be this time. Like you mentioned, as much as you hate the Cowboys, I do believe that Jones was definitely deserving to be enshrined. I respect him. He knows. Well, a lot of owners, you know, they spend like billions of dollars, like Jeffrey Lurie, but they really don't know a lot about football outside of just financially funding the team. But I actually have to say that I do, despite not wanting to, I do support Jones getting in. Now, I did hear that story from back in the day about Warner. I thought that was interesting. And at first I had my, this was a couple of years ago when they were talking about like 5 years right after he retired. He retired as a Cardinal in 2009. I was wondering, he hadn't played that long because he was injured for a few years. He had that great run with the Rams in his second season. Well, technically his first season, because he only played 11 snaps in his first year. Excuse me. He was a 28-year-old in 1999, went 13-3 in his first year, led the league in completion percentage, touchdowns, touchdown percentage, yards per attempt, net yards per attempt, and passer rating, 65.1 completion percentage, 41 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, 109 passer rating. What did you make of that offense? They had Kurt Warner, they had Isaac Bruce, they had a couple. I'm trying to think of some of the other guys. They had
Torrey Holt, Marshall Faulk.
Yeah, yeah. So they had this dynamic offense, but you still have to spread the field. You have to, you still have to throw the ball in the tight scenarios. You know, 3rd and 10. You know, when they were running, they had Mike Moore as their offensive coordinator. They were running the Eric Coryell offense, and they were a good defense too, which is underrated because the offense was so good. At the time, they set a record for points, I believe, where they were 2nd to the Vikings of 98. Anyways, and also a former Eagles head coach, Dick Vermeil, was their head coach. So I was definitely happy for Vermeil and Warner, two great guys, to win the Super Bowl that year, just like inches short of winning the Super Bowl over Tennessee. Then they go a few years later versus New England and almost win again. Then almost 10 years later with Arizona, they beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl, faces Pittsburgh and Ben Roethlisberger, and comes close to winning a 2nd Super Bowl. And so Kurt Warner is definitely deserving of that. So we'll get into the 2nd player enshrined in LaDainian Tomlinson, 5-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro, 1-time MVP, was a Charger for the majority of his career, 9 out of 11 seasons, led the league in rushing yards 2 times in 2006 and 2007, and led the league in rushing touchdowns on 3 occasions, including 28 in 2006. What was your impression of LaDainian Tomlinson? Obviously, we didn't get to see a lot of him when he was a player here throughout his 11-year career, but when you did get to see him play and throughout highlights, what was your impression of him?
Well, first off, I just want to throw out this crazy stat that I was reading today. Out of the last 13 Hall of Fame games, the winning team has not made the playoffs that year.
Really?
And,
that is interesting.
Let me get to the LT stat. You know, he was a great running back. You know, he was in a very good division. The Broncos at the time, you know, they were still pretty good. And you had the Chargers that were always good. And I think he really meshed well with Philip Rivers. You know, he was all right, you know, with Drew Brees. But once he got Philip Rivers and, you know, they had a nice connection with them too, they just clicked. And he could do everything. He can catch out of the backfield. He can cut. He can stop. He can go. He can, you know, he saw the holes really well. He could do pretty much anything. I think he's one of the best running backs I've ever seen play in my life, just for the simple fact that you probably won't ever see a running back in history again with 31 total touchdowns in one season, which is amazing, by the way. So, yeah, I think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he was a dynamic player, and like you mentioned, once him and Rivers linked up, it was instant chemistry. And also, a lot of quarterbacks, they can have this, but it can screw up your chemistry. He also had the same head coach for 4 or 5 years in North Turner, made the playoffs on several occasions. They actually made it close to being able to make it to the Super Bowl in 2007. They beat Tennessee and the Colts and lost by 9 points to the Patriots in the championship game. And so I believe at the time he had 28 rushing touchdowns in 2006. It was 2nd best to Sean Alexander all time. I think Alexander had, if you remember him, he had 30 touchdowns the year before. So I think we definitely can agree that he was a talented player, meant a lot to the game, meant a lot to the Chargers. So congratulations to him. So we'll kind of position back to a player, another running back who played a little bit further back than Alexander did, Tomlinson did, and former Bronco Terrell Davis, a sixth-round pick in 1995. He was Long Beach State, Georgia, and drafted by the Broncos. He played only 78 games and parts of 8 seasons, but he led the league in rushing yards and had and was a part of the 2000 rushing yard club in 98, and also had 21 touchdowns and led the league in yards per game that year. But his career, for the most part, he was right around 5 yards per carry. In that season, he averaged 5.1 yards per carry, because I think he was kind of underrated, because I know this may sound stupid because he is a Hall of Famer, but he played in an era that had so many great running backs: Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders. I'm probably missing a few others, but he played in a decade with so many elite, talented running backs that were MVP worthy like him, and he played with a talented fellow Hall of Famer in John Elway as well. Do you have any thoughts on Terrell Davis? I'm guessing, like I do, you didn't really get to see him play because his last full season was in 1998, and he stopped playing in 2001.
Well, I remember the first time ever, you know, watching football was the Super Bowl, actually, and that was between the Broncos and the Falcons in 98. And I saw Terrell Davis put on a show, and he's a great running back. Now he, that was his 2008 yard year with 21 touchdowns in 98. You know, his first 4 seasons, he had over 1,100 rushing yards and a minimum of 7 touchdowns, which is great. Then, you know, he had his knee injuries, and, you know, he wasn't able to be, you know, back to the way he was. So that's partially the reason why he retired, which is smart on his end. But, you know, here's a stat that, you know, most people don't know about Terrell Davis. You know, with his stats and, you know, his caliber of talent, you know, you think he'd be in the first or second round of the draft. He was a sixth-round pick. And it just proves to show you, you know, you can find a bunch of sleepers in the draft any time of the year. You just have to find them.
Yeah, I agree. And it's no coincidence that Denver was so solid and 2-time Super Bowl-winning team with Davis in the backfield. Actually, you were mentioning, which brings up another point of mine, you were mentioning how solid he was in the postseason, especially versus Atlanta in the Super Bowl, and they won by 15, 34-19 in 1999-98 season. 7 out of his 8 career postseason games, he had at least 100 yards on the field rushing. And out of his 8 games, in the postseason, he was 7-1. The Broncos were, and he averaged 5.6 yards per carry and had 12 touchdowns. So almost 2 times almost the amount of touchdowns per game. And he was just a consistent player and definitely deserving despite his short career. We'll get into another late 90s, 2000s player and former defensive end, Jason Taylor, who played the majority of his career with the Dolphins, played 13 years with Miami, a year of each with both the Jets and Washington. He was a 6-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro. He was a stud when he was in Akron. He was a 3rd-round pick, 73rd overall, by Miami in the 97 draft. And he actually is related by law to Zach Thomas, who was a linebacker for Miami. So let's get back to Jason Taylor. He was just a consistent guy. He had a couple great seasons where he would bring such great pressure. He reminded me a lot of Von Miller, pre-Von Miller. In Miami in 2002, Taylor led the league with 18.5 sacks. And on 6 occasions, He had at least 11 or more sacks, and he had 139.5 career sacks, including 131 as a Dolphin. Just play consistent in game in and game out. You see a lot of defensive ends. They have a couple of great years. Offensive coordinators and offenses, they look at tape of them and they see, well, you know, double team this guy, and you know, he always put in a hard day's work. I don't know if you ever saw him play a lot, but do you have an opinion of Taylor or any first impressions when you saw him play?
Yeah, he was a monster. He's actually a really big dude. So he has a lot of speed too. So he would use his power and speed, you know, to either bull rush or do a swim move or a strafe on the offensive lineman. And in my opinion, he's actually top 10 DN in the NFL history. And I'm looking at his stats now. He's actually 7th all-time in sacks with 139.5. He's actually right above DeMarcus Ware. He's up one more than DeMarcus Ware. So watch out for DeMarcus Ware making a climb to the top soon. But
another Hall of Famer today.
Oh, yeah, exactly. He's a real good dude. He never, you know, never got in trouble off the field and was a professional and set the example and just was a tremendous football player.
So where would you rank him among the all-time defensive ends? Is he top 10, top 5 to you?
From what I've seen, because I'm looking at the list now, I don't remember Bruce Smith that much. I remember Reggie White. Julius Peppers on the list, Michael Strahan. No, from what I've seen, I think, you know, Jason Taylor is a top 5 at the end.
Yeah, Strahan's definitely in there. Those types of guys, you never forget, they put a huge imprint in the game. So definitely congrats to him. He was a big guy, 255 pounds, so no slouch. And we'll get into another Hall of Famer who was a defensive back. He had a short career like Terrell Davis, who we just mentioned. Defensive back Kenny Easley, who came out of UCLA and was drafted by the Seahawks, number 4 overall in 1981. Only played 89 games, led the league, though, in interceptions with Seattle in 1984, 5-time Pro Bowler. 3-time All-Pro. I remember seeing footage of him on YouTube because obviously he played in the early 80s through the late 80s, so he was way before our time when we started watching football. But from what I've seen, he was definitely deserving and a solid player. So we'll get into our last Hall of Famer, and then I want to get into some around the league news, including Colin Kaepernick reportedly is trying to get signed by the Dolphins, and Jay Cutler as well is looking at the Dolphins. A couple other teams are as well. And then the Steelers also re-signed head coach Mike Tomlin. There's a few other things besides that. But last thing I want to get into, the last Hall of Famer that was enshrined this past week was former kicker Morton Anderson, who was drafted out of Michigan State in the 4th round, 86 overall, in 1982 by the Saints. Kickers, as you know, they play so long. He played for 25 years, and he also played for 5 different teams, mainly the Saints, who played there for 13 years, 8 years with the Falcons, including, as we mentioned, that team that went to the Super Bowl versus the Broncos. He also played in 11 postseason games, including 3 in that year with Atlanta. 7-time Pro Bowler and 3-time All-Pro. I don't know if you want to chime in on anything about him, being he was just a kicker, but he was the final inductee.
He played in the league for a long time. He played in the league up until 2007, 25 years in the league. He played until he was 47 years old. Spent the majority of his career with, I believe, Atlanta, New Orleans as well, and really stayed in the NFC South. But he was automatic. He actually is known for his kicking ability, for how long he can kick the ball. I remember he's had multiple 60-yard field goals in his career, which is amazing because you don't ever see that at all anymore. But he's just a workhorse. 20 be no matter what, if you're a punter or a kicker or whatever, being 25 years in the league is that's something special that you don't see every day. So that's probably half the reason why he's in the Hall of Fame, because of all the game time he logged in for the NFL.
Yeah, playing that long, being that consistent, you're bound to, and being not only consistent, but playing on the field that long. Kickers, they obviously, they really get injured compared to quarterbacks and running backs and defensive players, but he was definitely a consistent player, which you always look for in a kicker, just like any other. And congratulations to him. Actually, I meant to say that I was going to continue segue into some recent news and breaking news around the league, but I want to touch on one really more important thing, and this actually is more important than the Anderson induction, because former Eagle and former longtime 49er wide receiver Terrell Owens was not inducted. A lot of people thought he was, but I think his off-the-field antics is what got him out of Canton this year. I think he'll be eventually inducted. Six-time Pro Bowler for Owens, five-time All-Pro, drafted in the third round, 89th overall, and 96th by the 49ers. Had a huge part in helping the Eagles go to the Super Bowl versus the Patriots. And on three times, he led the league in touchdowns, including a career-high 16 in 2001 with the 49ers. Played 8 years with San Francisco and 3 years with the Cowboys and 2 years with the Eagles, although he was expected to sign long-term with the team. What was your impression of Owens' career as well as his withdrawal from being inducted?
I think he had a great career. He's probably top three in receivers I've ever seen play in my life. He's actually ranked eighth in career receptions, third in career touchdowns, behind Jerry Rice and Randy Moss. But his off-the-field antics did get him in trouble a lot, especially the whole debacle with Drew Rosenhaus as his agent in Philadelphia. Now, me personally, if I were the Eagles, I just would have paid this man his money, because you see what happens when you have back in the early 2000s, when the Eagles did have a solid receiver, they got over the hump and went to the Super Bowl. But, and then once he got to the Cowboys, he still was stirring up the pot a little bit, became hated around Philadelphia. But, that's just T.O. It's just T.O. being T.O. I think next time around, next year, you'll see him in the Hall of Fame getting inducted. Maybe he'll have Donovan McNabb give him a speech.
Yeah, and I think in a few years he'll get his time. A few other things, since you pointed out some of the great stats by him and where he ranks in certain stats and other rankings among all-time wide receivers. He's in that group of Rice and Moss and even Chris Carter, who a lot of people forget about. Several of them who were Eagles. Owens accomplished a lot. On three occasions, he had at least 200 receiving yards, including a career-high 283 on 20 catches in 2000. with San Francisco in a 17-0 win over the Bears, his career high with the Eagles was 171 at Kansas City in a 37-31 win in 2005. And it's funny when you mentioned the Drew Rosenhaus hiring after the in the offseason after the Super Bowl. I remember he was still on the contract for like 3 or 4 years, but he wanted to restructure it because, according to him, he was valuable the most over the team, over any other player, because he came back from that huge injury to make it back and had over 120 receiving yards in the Super Bowl. And I remember him doing sit-ups in his driveway in Morristown. I don't know if you remember that, when right after he hired Rosenhaus and refused to report to training camp. So we'll see, maybe in a few years they'll get him in. So I don't know if you have any other stories about Owens or any other the other guy.
He was very entertaining, you know. His touchdown celebrations are, you know, like none other, with the pom poms and the Sharpie markers on the football. And he actually rejuvenized the whole touchdown celebration back in the 2000s along with Joe Horn. I'm not sure if you remember, but Joe Horn actually whipped out his ass and out of the field goal pace and called his mom when he scored a touchdown.
He was good, great, I should say, with three different teams, which is not completely rare, but it's rare for a wide receiver. A lot of times that's rare because guys like him, if they're such a great dynamic stretch of the field wide receiver, teams like Minnesota did with Chris Carter, if you left the Eagles, they retain him and they sign him to long-year deals. They're not going to let that guy go. And obviously, you know, even though Randy Moss was with the Vikings, he ended up kind of resurrecting his career with the Patriots. And I think he's another guy that when his time comes, it's going to be enshrined. So, well, those inductees aside, and we'll get some more perspective from some other people as to whether or not Terrell Owens should be an immediate Hall of Famer. We'll get into some around the league news. So there's been multiple reports by ESPN reporters, Adam Schefter, by Bleacher Report, over the past 24 hours plus, that that Jay Cutler, former Bears Pro Bowl quarterback, was interested in joining the Dolphins. This because the Dolphins had a vacancy at the starting quarterback position after former starting quarterback Ryan Tannehill suffered a potential career season-ending ankle injury. And I don't know if you saw that, but there was footage of that. The injury happened in practice, and he went to plant his foot, his right foot, to throw, and it completely buckled. So Adam Gase, the head coach for the Dolphins, was actually the former offensive coordinator in 2015 under Cutler. So Gase said, this was earlier today, that Cutler is interested in joining the Dolphins, and that this was confirmed by a reporter for the Palm Beach Post, Joe Shad. And Gase also, according to the report, also said that Cutler didn't ask to be guaranteed a starting job. What do you make of Jay Cutler? Do you think he's going to end up a Dolphin? Because there are reports going around that who's going to end up with the Dolphins, Colin Kaepernick or Jay Cutler? Where do you think Jay Cutler is going to end up? Because I see him joining the Dolphins.
I see Jay Cutler staying in TV. I see Kaepernick staying unemployed. Now, if I was an owner, I would sign Kyle Kaepernick in a heartbeat. Reason being, he took a team to the Super Bowl on his back and almost, you know, at the time, pulled off one of the biggest upsets in Super Bowl history against the Ravens. You know, last year, his stats aren't bad. You know, I don't know how many yards he has thrown last year, but last year in the games he played, he had 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, which isn't bad. If you, you know, stretch it out to a full year, that's 32 touchdowns, 8 picks, not bad at all. He's got the size, he's got the strength, he's got the ability. He's fast, he can run out of the pocket, you know, create plays with his legs. You know, he could be a starter on 3/4 of the NFL teams. Like, if I was the Browns, if I was the Dolphins, if I was the Ravens, if I was the Texans, you know, I would be on the phone trying to get Colin Kaepernick on my team. You know, he did with the whole sitting on kneeling during the national anthem is very disrespectful because he did it every single week. But, you know, he does have a freedom of speech living in America. I think maybe if he did it just one time, just to prove a point, you know, more teams would be willing to give him a chance. But I don't see any team signing him right now until maybe he comes out and publicly apologizes to everybody for his actions. And with Cutler, I think Matt Moore is actually a better player than Jay Cutler is. You know, Jay Cutler had weapons in Chicago for a while and did nothing with it. So what makes him think he's going to do something with the weapons he has in Miami?
Yeah, Cutler was an interception machine. I always thought he had a cannon for an arm. He was a Pro Bowler in 2008 when he was with Denver. But the last few years, he hasn't made the playoffs in 2012. And on two occasions, he led the league in interceptions, including 26 in 2009. And he had 18 interceptions, which led the league in 2014. I know he's a pocket guy. When he gets out of the pocket, he's even more vulnerable because, you know, it makes it even more easier to force pressure on him and make bad decisions. And, you know, it's tough for him because he had solid weapons, like you mentioned. He was consistent at times, but then he also made a lot of mental errors. And he's a pretty big guy. And he was a high draft pick. He was 11th overall pick by Denver in 2006. I think the Broncos kind of saw that he was just like an inconsistent player. He had 14 picks in his full rookie year in 2007. And although he has a pretty good career quarterback rating, a lot of times he was sacked a lot of times as well, 52 times in 2010. I just saw a guy that had a ton of potential and didn't fulfill it. And that's for Kaepernick. I agree with you. A second-round pick. And like you mentioned, last year he was very phenomenal. People only looked at the controversy and then his record. San Francisco, first of all, they were 1-10 with him behind center, but they led the league in most points allowed with 480. So, you know, you can't blame it. You can't put the blame on him. And actually, for his career, he's almost at a 90 quarterback rating. Do you compare him, if you had to compare him to any quarterback, past or present, who would you compare Kaepernick to?
Well, I'll compare him to one of his San Francisco alumni, Steve Young. You know, Steve Young was obviously a lot better, but, you know, same kind of characteristics. You know, you could run, you could throw on the run, you know, both tough players. They both played for the Niners. You know, they both have the same kind of style of play. You know, if nothing's open downfield, they'll just take off around the ball. And that's what Steve Young did. That's what made him, you know, so good, too. He's a dual-threat quarterback.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. And there was Kaepernick. I want to bring up one point. I was talking a couple minutes ago, and you actually just mentioned it as well, about how scary Mike Young was. Kaepernick could be outside the pocket. There was a game, ironically, it was versus the Dolphins in 2000, actually a year, last November, in a 31-24 loss, where Kaepernick had 113 rushing yards, over 11 yards per carry, and on top of that, he had 296 yards in the air. Can you imagine that? That's just insane. I mean, this guy, you know, most quarterback, I mean, Michael Vick was kind of like that guy who, when you get outside the pocket, was scary. And Michael Vick, as he got later in the later stages of his career, developed his arm more and was able to use that to his advantage. But there's a guy in Kaepernick who definitely made the most out of his opportunities. And I definitely see him being a hot commodity around the league. A ton of teams in the NFC, not just the Dolphins, are looking at both players. So where do you see both players ending up?
I see them ending up in the same position they're in right now. I see Cutler not stepping away from, you know, the TV, because it's going to be a lot. It all depends also what he's getting paid for the TV job and what he's getting paid from any other offer. You know, if the offer's right and the system's right for him, and he can see himself either A, winning, or B, being a starter there, you know, he might take him up on that offer. But I think it's going to be, you know, some good team. And the offer's going to be better than TV for him to, you know, take the job.
I think you're right. It's actually, earlier this afternoon, about 8 hours ago, ESPN reporter for the NFL, Jeff Darlington, tweeted, quote, "As Cutler continues contemplating a return to football this weekend after talks with Adam Gates, Cutler is now leaning heavily towards staying retired." And as you mentioned, being an analyst, and he wasn't bad at that. So, actually, I think you might be right. He'll probably, unless they make him a really huge offer and Gates is able to really convince him to come back to the spread offense. They did the spread offense when he was a Bear, and now Gates implemented that now with the Dolphins. So we wish the best of luck to both gentlemen, no matter if Cutler decides to stay retired and jump back in the booth, or whether both guys jump behind back under center. So actually probably the last thing, or second to last thing I want to get to, unless Mark, you want to jump in with anything. I know I mentioned Mike Tomlin, but I brought up something earlier to another friend of mine I came across before then. I think I even sent it to you, something really interesting that is also mentioned on Bleacher Report. This was yesterday, that according to several reports, Cowboys and now Hall of Famer that I mentioned, Jerry Jones agrees with the NFL studying potential benefits of marijuana. This was mentioned yesterday, that he agreed with the NFL's decision to investigate the benefits of marijuana as a pain management drug for players, past and present, and quote, this was according to Jones yesterday, "I agree with what the NFL is doing. There is a real fertile ground there. It is a labor issue that, like several things, not just that one. I understand the sensitivity about that particular issue. A lot of people would disagree with the labor issue, but that's the way these things work. Two things. Do you agree with Jones approving and standing by the NFL and looking into the benefits of marijuana usage by players? And do you think this is long overdue, the fact that players should be allowed to smoke marijuana?
I like it a lot. I like that he's doing that. And it is long overdue. You know, a lot of players that do smoke marijuana, they'll smoke it after the game, after they've done a long, gruesome game. It helps heal their body. You know, it's just a natural plant that helps heal their body. I think they should go away with the suspensions for getting caught marijuana. You know, Josh Gordon, he hasn't played in the NFL in years because of marijuana, and he is one of the best receivers in the league when he's on the field. And it's just crazy some of the NFL policies and rules how.
Well, Ezekiel Elliott could not get any kind of suspension for assaulting his girlfriend, but Jordan Matthews can go smoke some marijuana and get a 4-game suspension, you know? It's just crazy.
Yeah, I don't see inconsistency. It's like in certain sports, there's always going to be trying to maintain a level of consistency, whether it's the rules or players that are doing something off the field or off the court or off the ice. You want there to be a respect between the league, whatever, any of the four sports, and the players, the coaches and the managers and the owners, the fact that we can come together and do something that we love and not have this big thing. And like you mentioned, you know, there's several cases, including Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott, who, you know, are reportedly in a lot of cases where NFL players were confirmed to be involved with domestic dispute with their wives or girlfriends or whoever they may be off the field. I don't understand how that can be okay and tolerated, I guess the best way to put it, and not have this controlled to the level that it should be allowed. So definitely agree with that, and hopefully they can continue to look into that. And over the years, there's been so many, I lost track. And substance abuse policies, they've been dating back to the early 80s. 1983 was the first case of it. And as you mentioned, one of the more recent cases was Josh Norman. And over the past several seasons, there's been at least 20, 30 cases of players either potentially getting suspended or it happening as well. So next time we'll get into the preseason a little bit more after the Packers game. Eagles play them, as I mentioned, next week. And then a few more preseason games down the line. We'll get into more about Kaepernick, about some of the other more interesting news, and what else is to come leading up to the season. So it was interesting to hear about all the players that got into the Hall of Fame and who didn't, and some of the policies that may or may not be turned over, like the marijuana supporting non-suspension policy that may take into effect this year. So, Mark, it was good to have back on this show, and hopefully we can do it again more recently, maybe next week once the preseason